It's now time for the Hastings Coaches Show on KDWA Radio, AM 1460 and FM 97.7. Today's show brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurant, Catalyst ARP, and Hastings Realty, Tom Kane. We now send it to the KDWA studio. Good Saturday morning, everybody. It's the Hastings Coaches Show here on KDWA. Glad you are joining us. Now, I want to explain something to fans, first of all, because people are probably going to say, Tuck, we had a football game Tuesday. Why are we not wrapping up the season today? Well, here's what we're doing. Because of the Minnesota State High School League announcement after Governor Walz talked to us midweek, we have Athletic Director Trent Hansen from Hastings High School and Coach Strain kind enough to put off our season recap coaches show until Thanksgiving weekend, so we'll just do a little rearranging. And Coach Strain was so kind to join us in a busy day yesterday, I should say, as we taped this Friday on Thursday, when the announcement came in that our football team was not going to be able to play. And boy, when we talk about our coaches being the best in the business, that 4.5 minute cut Coach Strain put forth was as professional as it gets, and he's a leader for a reason. And as I bring Athletic Director Trent Hansen in here, and of course, good morning, sir, to you. But man, heartbreaking, no doubt. I mean, what we went through this week, and some folks don't like that I use the term heartbreaking, but it depends on how you look at it, Trent, because for these kids, it very well is. When they had a chance at a game, didn't know if they'd play, moved it back another day, had it taken away from them, if that roller coaster of emotions isn't heartbreaking, as a athletic guy myself and covering these kids for almost 19 years now, as an athletic director, you had to have at least felt a little bit of the same way as we kind of hit midweek.
Yeah, for sure. And good morning to you. And we're getting a lot of practice at being flexible and responding to change, and then recognizing what the lesson available is. You know, so yeah, I just commend our football coaches for their leadership and really appreciate the understanding of our kids and families. And it's hard. It's frustrating. It's disappointing. It's all of those things. And at the end of the day, one of our supreme core values is integrity. And the right thing to do here was for us to not play a game on Friday night. And so that's what we do. And it's who we are. And again, I just applaud everyone for how they've responded and how they've kind of stood up to all the change that we've been in the midst of.
It's been absolutely crazy, we know that, but the way our community, our kids, our coaches, our teachers, our administration has handled it has been second to none. And I want to start, first of all, with, let's just go back. We might as well kind of get into what we're talking. People probably may not have heard earlier on in the week. Governor Walz spoke to us midweek. He announced that we're having a pause, is what he defined this as. And for me, I mean, thinking about pause, I'm thinking, well, hopefully that means shorter than what we went through earlier on if we do our job, whatever it might be, to get us back. Talk about what the high school league kind of came up with, filtered to you as athletic directors, and then gave you a day maybe 48 hours to process info, get it out to coaches. What has this last 72 hours or so been like for you, Trent, and Jackie as well in the athletic department?
Yeah, it's always a little blurry when you're just in the midst of info gathering, right? You're kind of getting dinged from a lot of different directions, and as you're working through processing one set of updates, you get kind of hit with another one, and that's just the nature of the business anyway, which is just part of it. We understand that. But there's the state level directive and guidance, and then there's the kind of the conference level application, and then certainly on a local level, you have to figure out how things are going to be implemented. So you got these tiers that you work through, but this is what leadership is, right? You are presented with a scenario. You get a certain set of information. Maybe not as much information as you'd like, or maybe not the scenario you wish you would be in, but then you still have the opportunity to choose what your next action is going to be, and you get to choose how you're going to model things going forward. And so that's really where, selfishly, I try to keep my focus on is what is the messaging to coaches and what is the messaging to families and kids, and try to keep people unified and focused. And a four-week pause or a four-week suspension, whatever you want to call it, for athletics, particularly at the, you know, we've got a couple sports that we're raring to go, you know, on Monday. Again, it's difficult, but let's try to keep it in context and focused on what we can do and kind of try to keep people on a path to focusing on when that next in-person opportunity is going to be. That's where our charge is right now.
It looks like 4 weeks T? I don't want to say 4 weeks, because if we go to that, you know, third week in December, it's pretty much going to take us to and likely through the Christmas holidays. So if I do my Hastings math correctly, and Miss Bartley would be very proud of me here, that would take us to right around January 1st, you know, in that vicinity. Do you feel that is a fair timeline if we follow the rules and flatten the curve again, or whatever it might be? Is that what it's sounding like from the State High School League, Trent?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, there's the question, you know, why 4 weeks? You know, and the way it's been explained to us, you know, the purpose of all this, right, is to allow our medical community the opportunity to do their job, right, to continue to serve those that are most at risk and most in need, and kind of let us to respond to where we're at. But also, 4 weeks is essentially two transmission cycles in terms of all the COVID science, right? So I think they want to really put a hard stop on things, and let's see if that does have the positive impact that we think it can and will on that case rate and on that transmission rate. And we'll just see. So as we look at it from an athletic standpoint, you know, we're going to have a plan for virtual contact over the next 4 weeks with our athletes. And we're targeting December 21st as that first in-person opportunity. You know, the timing is challenging if, in fact, that comes to fruition. As you noted, you've got the Christmas and New Year's holidays tucked in there, and that would be, you know, a little goofy to kind of start-stop a little bit over the course of 2 weeks. But I think what you described is also, you know, very possible if we just want to be candid about it. I mean, it's certainly possible that as we get to the middle of December, you know, updated guidance pushes us back into the early part of January. We don't know that. So we recognize it's a possibility, and we need to be aware of it. But I think then it also comes back to, well, what are we being asked to do right now, right? And what can I do today to make the chances of me being able to play hockey or wrestle or shoot a basketball on the 21st, what can I do today? And that's what the order is for. You know, we kind of chuckled about it this morning when or Friday when I met with our coaches. I said, you know, it doesn't say governor's suggestion. It says governor's order. I mean, and you know, the way I was raised, an order is non-negotiable. So regardless of politics or regardless of age and stage, I take that very seriously, and I think that our athletic department does as well. I mean, if the order says this is what we are not allowed to do, then we're not going to do that. And so, you know, we can talk some more about that, but I think it's the best thing that I can do today, or the best thing our athletes and coaches can do today, is follow the order and do what it says, and don't do what it says not to do, and that's going to give us the greatest chance of getting back as fast as we can to in-person sports.
Different sports have different risk, Trent, and I think that that's the one thing that if you talk to kids, coaches, even parents, and a lot of it, you know, hey, our sport is outside. Hey, you know, and I could hear I could hear D-Wall from miles away. Hey, we're outside, Tuck. You know, come on over, watch us ski. You know, or you know, just going down to watch the Nordic, or I should say the Alpine kids, and watch them fly down the hill. I mean, that can't be too risky, but then, you know, you go into hockey. Well, you know, I mean, I grew up playing that sport, goaltender. I wear, you know, 100 pounds of equipment. I'm breathing all over. I mean, people breathing on you, the whole thing. Wrestling. I mean, you're literally hand-to-hand combat with another participant. That's got to be tough. Basketball, you're flying up and down the floor. So if you want to wear a mask, I mean, how are you going to do that? You got to breathe. You played, Trent. You know, that's not, it's not just, you know, hey, let's go shoot a basket. I mean, that's physical cardio workout. What do you think about different risks and different sports, and how are we going to handle that when we do get back?
Yeah, it's really difficult, and you hit on some of those variabilities there. I think one thing that folks should understand is that there are sport-specific advisory groups that work in conjunction with the State High School League and the Department of Health and Department of Ed that help create the guidance and direction that comes out on a sport-by-sport basis for return-to-play protocols. So those advisory groups have coaches on them. They have parents on them. They have ADs on them, and they are the ones that are literally on the inside, and they get wrestling, or they get alpine ski, or they get basketball, right? They know the sport you're talking about. It doesn't mean that everything the advisory group recommends becomes the actual, you know, direction, but it certainly is a very collaborative and very informed process. It's not one or two people at the State High School League sitting in a corner going, geez, what, how do we think this should look, right? It's far more intentional and informed than that. Now, on the flip side, right, this is the real world. I mean, not everyone's going to like or even appreciate the direction or guidance that comes. Because there is that variability, and what seems to make sense for one sport doesn't really make necessarily as much sense in the other, because they're just literally different. And the winter has more variability than probably any other season. I mean, you have kids in the pool, right, indoor in a hot, humid area, but it's chlorinated water. You've got kids on the ice where they're in a building, but it's temperature controlled and it's cold and they've got equipment on. Then you've got, you know, your indoor sports like basketball and wrestling, where the amount of contact and skin-to-skin and body-body contact is unparalleled compared to basically most of what happened in the fall. You talked about skiers, right? They're outside and they're masked up in a normal year, right? So trying to understand how you can put protocols in place that could be somewhat universal is challenging. Yet here's the thing that I really appreciate about being a member school of the Minnesota State High School League, or someone who is a proud member of an athletic conference, is that the league has been very clear so far that this is kind of a, as much as we can, an all for one, one for all. We're not going to put forth something that's just varsity. If we're going to offer a sport, we want all kids at all levels to be able to take part in it. We're not going to do something that's just going to be for these sports or just for those sports. It's all sports. So if we don't feel like we can have a season for these three, then we're not going to do it for anybody. And again, I think that's trying to speak to equity. It's trying to speak to opportunity. Again, people don't have to like it, but I certainly would hope that they could respect that approach. So they're trying to apply systematic frameworks that can get every kid back as best we can into an opportunity to play. And we'll get as close as we can to getting it as right as we can.
to wrap up our first segment, I want to ask you this too, Trent. I know I mentioned a little bit of this off the air, and I mentioned this earlier on this week too, is, you know, when things like this are going on, and we right now, Trent, I mean, if you look at America and the divide right now that there is politically, anything, I mean, the virus, racial tension, I mean, there's so many different things right now that we do need to get together on. And let's be honest, I mean, I've taken some phone calls this week or answered emails this week from literally angry, and I'll say angry in a nice way, because the people that I did talk with had a legitimate concern or want to have their kids out there playing, but directing their heat at the kind of the wrong people. And I don't think that heat should go anywhere, because there is nothing we can do about it. And as Coach Strain and I talked about earlier this week, and Coach Strain and Adam Welch, to Coach Welch, mentioned this all over the radio the last couple of years, control the controllables, right? I mean, this is a thing that we have to tell parents, kids, you know, whoever's a fan that's angry, we get it, we understand, but so are we. We're just following the rules, Trent. I just want people to understand that there are protocols to follow, and we have to continue to do that if these kids want to play at all, whether it's January or in the springtime.
Yeah, it's really well said, and it's a dynamic where we all have to do what we can do individually to make things the best we can for the collective. You know, sometimes what may inconvenience me personally a little bit ultimately results in a better outcome for my group. I know that's oversimplified a little bit, but I think it's the point will be taken when you think of it in an athletics or a school context. I mean, no one has chosen, right, for us to be in this particular situation. I mean, come on, right? No one has volunteered to have a pandemic, you know, hit our communities and hit our country and hit the world. I mean, but it's what we're living in. And so, you know, we're all human. Part of being human is that we get opinions and we are emotional, and that's just part of being alive. So this is hard, and it's frustrating. It's disappointing. It elicits a whole range of responses internally, and that's all okay. Like I said, that's part of being alive. Yet the conscious choice I think we all have, and if we want to spin this back to athletics, the choice that we have as coaches or leaders is to model in the best way possible for our kids. Or that's the responsibility that we have as parents or neighbors or whatever it might be. We are teaching our kids something 24/7 with how we behave and how we speak and how we respond And so we can look at some of these circumstances as a loss, as a problem, as political. We can call them whatever we want. I think we also need to call it an opportunity. It really is an opportunity to teach. It's an opportunity to model. And I think we just need to keep asking ourselves, what is it that we want our 17-year-old, you know, athlete to learn from this? What is it that we want the third grader in our house to learn? What is it we want our neighbors to, how do we want to come out of this, right? So the choices that we make now are really, really important. So we all have tough moments. We all have bad days, right? And I would hope that people, again, pause, right? Try to get to 10,000 feet before they respond to a particular email or a phone call or they read something. You know, try to exhale a little bit and recognize where we all are, right? I don't think that there's anyone that's intentionally trying to ruin someone else's day on purpose. but it is all those things I described, you know? And so, again, one of the great strengths of this particular community, I think, is how we've continually rallied together to, again, honor each other and what's important to us individually, but also, do it collectively. You know, it's a great testament to the kind of community that we all live in. And it's what we do, whether it's something as simple as, hey, we need volunteers to come shovel Todd Field, or we need people to come bag down by the river, or we need people to donate for the, I mean, it's who we are. And I think that there'll be some tough moments, but overall, what I have seen and what I've appreciated, and I think what I continue to expect, is that people just rally on behalf of the collective group and the collective community. And I don't think our athletic programs are going to be any different. People will remain on board and try to make this the best we can for our kids.
Very well said, sir. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap things up. Look at some fun things, too, because we're going to have some fun. Whenever it might be, it's going to be fun, I'll tell you that, because we got some kids and some coaches that are ready to rock and roll, kids that are excited to get back out there, and I know we all are as well. We'll talk about some of that stuff, and, of course, our wonderful coaches. We couldn't do what we've done so far this fall and what we will do in the future without our leaders here in blue and gold. We'll talk about them when we come back.
At your Hastings Perkins in the Midtown Shopping Center, you can get breakfast all day, every day. Don't forget to order a Perkins pie for any upcoming event or special occasion. For breakfast, lunch, dinner, and everything in between, it's Perkins Family Restaurant, now open 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. 7 days a week. No reservations needed. First come, first serve. Remember, at this time, there are 10 per group, per table, per visit. That's Perkins of Hastings.
Whether you are buying or selling a home, you want a realtor you can trust. One that has experience navigating the complex and turbulent world of real estate. Call Tom Kane of Hastings Realty with over 25 years of selling real estate in our hometown of Hastings. Tom will listen carefully to understand your real estate goal and work hard to create a solution that makes sense just for you. Let Tom's expertise, proven track record, and resources help you achieve your real estate goal. Call Tom Kane at 651-437-8944.
Catalyst ARB, located at Milner Family Chiropractic in Hastings, is your place for total injury recovery. Professional athletes worldwide are using ARB Wave technology for injury prevention, accelerated recovery, and improved performance. Recover from injuries and surgeries faster. Whether you need relief from an old injury or want to get ready for the big game, get real results sooner with ARB Wave, accelerated recovery, and performance. Milner Family Chiropractic and Catalyst ARB proudly support Hastings Raider Athletics.
Winter sports may be a bit different this season at the rink and in the gym, but they won't sound any different on KDWA Radio.
Scores! There's one!
Left machine for three.
Yes! Take that shot! Scores! Let's keep going!
Hastings and Prescott High School sports all winter long on KDWA Radio. AM 1460, FM 97.7, and KDWA.com.
Back with Mr. Trent Hansen, our athletic director here at Hastings High School. And as we were mentioning, going to break, we have some of the best coaches in the business. And I am as privileged as anybody to be able to work with them every day, whether it's interviews, whether it's just being at the rink, you know, gathering a lineup, just shooting the breeze with a coach. If we got a vent, maybe. I mean, it's happened before, Trent. You know, I mean, it's just what it is, man. And we got so many of these leaders that are so good. And you look at this fall, we had almost two different seasons, right? I mean, the tennis, soccer season and the swim, you know, that was all fun. And then all of a sudden we have this football, volleyball season. Cool. I mean, we had two fall seasons, and the way these coaches, whether it be varsity, JV, C squad, B squad, whoever, the way they handled this was something so special that we'll look back at this, Trent, and this will be a teaching experience maybe 10 years down the road for new coaches as to what we dealt with, how we deal with tough situations, and how we get through them together.
Yeah, super well stated. I mean, our coaches are just a blessing to our community. I mean, they're a gift to our kids. And they make the conscious choice to stay in it in the midst of really evolving circumstances. I mean, coaching today is very unlike coaching 30 years ago. There's the year-round pressure. Parents are a lot more hands-on, much more intense. Things are much more public, right, with social media. And yeah, they get paid a small stipend, but you know, we're in the coins per hour, right? So one of the, you know, among the questions that we can perpetually ask ourselves within our athletic department, we do a lot of professional development around this. Why do I coach? Why do I coach the way that I do? How does it feel to be coached by me? And how do I define success? We are constantly churning through those questions. I work on that individually with coaches. We talk about it collectively with our sport groups. And now more than ever, when you look back at the fall, our coaches just stood right inside their purpose and recognized, hey, you know, I'm going to do this for the best experience of the kids. So, yeah, whether it's staying on point with COVID protocols, and then our coaches were super creative about how to practice plan when they're dealing with small pods or restrictions on length of time or facility use and some of those type of things. And then when it came to actual games and competitions, when it just didn't feel like what they were used to with either no fans or limited fans and all the spacing and different things. But again, what was super refreshing to me, it's been very humbling, I think, for our coaches too, is that, you know, the body language of the kids, the response of the kids, especially in those first few practices and first couple weeks when most of them had not been able to play, some for months, and they're just back out there, right? It's just puts you right back into the box to understand that we're here for them, right? We just need to make this the best we can for them. And so, you know, we don't get it perfect every time, but our coaches are so committed, so collaborative, and they're just really, really good at what they do. And so we're fortunate to have them, and I just can't commend them enough.
I can't either. I mean, you guys get up at 6 in the morning and go meet at Perkins, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, like I said, that's you. I'm still in Snoresville, and you guys are so committed to everybody, and assistants even. It's not just head coaches. You guys all get to meet up, and like I said, either go to Perkins or virtually now, whatever it might be. You know, you guys are always finding ways to get better professionally, and not only professionally, but really in your everyday lives, which makes a big deal for these kids as they go along through whatever we're doing, whether it be sports school, etc. You know, I want to mention some stuff too, because you know, there is you know, kids getting ready for their respective winter seasons. We know we're delayed for about a month or whatever it might be, but it's kind of weird because there was a bridge league for boys hockey. I know, so, you know, again, the political side will come out. Some people thought it was great. Some people were like, why are we playing? Blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is the kids were able to get out there with the boys anyway and play some, you know, scrimmagey type of games just to kind of get ready. I don't want to say like a captain's practice season, but that's kind of what it was to get them ready. I know some of the girls at times have been able to maybe find some lanes to skate and whatever it might be. Same with basketball kids, if they get a chance to shoot and do whatever they can with, you know, masked up with, you know, it's great. Some of these kids are going upon themselves to find ways to prepare whenever it might be, Trent, to get ready for the season. And that, again, it goes back to, you know, these kids being in Raider Express and things like that, you know, coming in 0 hour to work out and do all that kind of stuff with Spark. And these kids are showing that some of that stuff is paying off. As they might have a lonely stretch here for a month, they're still finding ways to get involved and make sure when we are ready to go, they hit the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, our kids, they love to play, right? They're just, they love to be with their friends. And this is, for many or most of them, this is just an outlet in their life that they get more enjoyment from or find more value in than other things. Doesn't make it more or less important than other opportunities for activities, but for a lot of these kids, this sport or these sports is their thing. And so, yeah, you could see that, you know, expressed in their choices in the fall for sure. You know, and one of the tough things, to be fair, going forward is in these next 4 weeks, it's very clear in this order that, you know, kids are not to engage in any activities where they're in any kind of proximity with people from different households. So that's going to be a lot different from what they were doing in September and October and most of November, right? So, you know, their individual fitness and skill development is encouraged, you know, and we want kids to work out. They just have to do it, you know, in the street or in the parking lot or in their backyard or their basement. And they just flat out shouldn't be doing it in any kind of coordinated way in any kind, right? I mean, the best chance we have of coming back for real in person is to stay apart for the next 4 weeks. I hate reminding people of that kind of vocabulary, but it really has become a big deal in the immediate term. But I think your point overall is well made in the sense that, you know, this is just a place of passion for our kids, and we try to keep an environment going where they can be in it and enjoy it and experience it.
I think you and I both have voices that carry through the town, Trent, and I think that in whatever seat we sit in, and I bring teachers into this, and of course parents, coaches, we go down the line, and over the next 4 weeks, however hard this might be, and you mentioned it, there's going to be kids, especially single children family like my family, where I have a young six-year-old who is sports crazy and would love to be with his friends, and this is where we all have to kind of pick it up, and we got to be the ones to guide the ship, and we're adults for a reason, right? We're parents for a reason, and the good Lord doesn't give us too much that we can't handle, right? So we got to tell our parents right now in Raider Nation, in our guardians, our grandmas, our grandpas, let's do it together. I mean, the next 4 weeks are not going to be fun, but you know what? I can just sense a run to the playoffs in girls hockey or boys hockey or basketball. I want to get to that spot, Trent. Let's do it together so we can get to that point and maybe enjoy a baseball game and a hot dog this year. Wouldn't that be fun? I mean, let's do this together over the next 4 weeks and see what happens.
I think we're up to the challenge. And I think regardless of, again, your beliefs or opinions or politics, the charge is set forth, right? We shouldn't be getting together, right? We can't train together. But we still, again, have a choice. We have an opportunity to make the circumstances the best that we can. It's going to require us to act differently. It's going to require us to act creatively. And that's okay. It's a chance to grow. It's a chance to be different. And again, I think especially as adults, just to continue to step back and say, what is it that I want my family to learn from this? And what is it that I want our neighborhood to represent in this and go about it? I mean, you know, I hate saying it this way, but I've had to say it this bluntly to our coaches and kids. The more you try to get around this the next 4 weeks, and like, so can you go play basketball at the park? Yes. You just have to do it by yourself or with a sibling. You can't play 4-on-4 with all the other people from the neighborhood. And that sucks. But the more time you're with other people, the lower the chance of us actually coming back in person. That's the direct corollary is what we're learning from all this other data. So, again, it comes back to collaboration and integrity. And like I said, we're up for the challenge, and I think people will do it.
Trent, a very happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, all your little ones as well. I don't want to say little, man. I look at Ryan. He's like 6'7" already or something like that. I mean, my goodness. But no, thank you for joining us. I appreciate Coach Strain's willingness to join us Thanksgiving week, get a show off next week and then to be able to wrap up the season. Thanks for all of your hard work. Just the way you work with our kids and our parents and our community is unparalleled. Thank you, buddy, for all you do for all of us. And I will see you on the flip side of all of this stuff, and maybe we can have a knuckle knock and actually, like I said, have a little fun with our boys and girls again.
You are welcome. The next time we're at Perkins, I'm gonna triple up on the breakfast.
I'll buy you an extra muffin. How's that sound?
Thanks, man.
That's Mr. Trent Hansen, folks. We will send it to a Super Saver Radio Shopping Show coming up here in a little bit. Of course, Talk Real Estate coming up after this short break. Enjoy your Saturday, folks.
At your Hastings Perkins in the Midtown Shopping Center, you can get breakfast all day, every day. Don't forget to order a Perkins pie for any upcoming event or special occasion. For breakfast, lunch, dinner, and everything in between, it's Perkins Family Restaurant, now open 6 a.m. until 10 p.m., 7 days a week. No reservations needed. First come, first serve. Remember, at this time, there are 10 per group, per table, per visit. That's Perkins of Hastings.
Whether you are buying or selling a home, you want a realtor you can trust. One that has experience navigating the complex and turbulent world of real estate. Call Tom Kane of Hastings Realty with over 25 years of selling real estate in our hometown of Hastings. Tom will listen carefully to understand your real estate goal and work hard to create a solution that makes sense just for you. Let Tom's expertise, proven track record, and resources help you achieve your real estate goal. Call Tom Kane at 651-437-8944.
Catalyst ARB, located at Milner Family Chiropractic in Hastings, is your place for total injury recovery. Professional athletes worldwide are using ARB Wave technology for injury prevention, accelerated recovery, and improved performance. Recover from injuries and surgeries faster. Whether you need relief from an old injury or want to get ready for the big game, get real results sooner with ARB Wave, accelerated recovery, and performance. Milner Family Chiropractic and Catalyst ARB proudly support Hastings Raider Athletics.
Winter sports may be a bit different this season at the rink and in the gym, but they won't sound any different on KDWA Radio.
Scores! There's one!
Left machine for three.
Yes! Take that shot! Scores! Let's keep going!
Hastings and Prescott High School sports all winter long on KDWA Radio. AM 1460, FM 97.7, and KDWA.com.